Elvis Presley, dead at the age of 42. I'm John Meyer. Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress.
August 16th, 1977, that was the breaking news all over the world. Today, we commemorate the 40th anniversary of the death of Elvis.
I got something to tell you, but I think you ought to know that my eyes are on me, baby, since a long time ago. Now I finally got the nerve and I'm gonna make my move. Now don't you try to turn me off, cause it's gonna be hard to do. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby, a thing about loving you. Ain't no two ways about it, baby, your love was meant for me. Know that I can't do without it, it fits me to a T. Ooh, there's something about you, baby, can't get you off my mind. I know that I can't live without you, I think about you all the time. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby, a thing about loving you. Ain't it just like a woman when she knows she's got a man? She'll ring you out and turn you about in the palm of her hand. Then she starts thinking that maybe she'll put you in a bind. She'll give you just a little love and it'll drive you out of your mind. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. Got a thing about you, baby, a thing about loving you. I got a thing about you, baby, about loving you.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. I'm Darren Daly, and it was this day 40 years ago we heard about the news of Elvis Presley and his sad and untimely death. My guest for this hour is Elvis fan and my next door neighbour, Edna Russell. Edna, welcome back to Tone FM.
Morning, Darren.
You seem to appear whenever there's some news about Elvis or something's going on or there's a big anniversary or whatever. And today is a very important one, obviously.
It is. It's a really important and very sad day. You know, 40 years on, it still gets to me and I'm sure it gets to many, many other people.
That was going to be our next question to you. It's 40 years. A lot has been said and done about this particular anniversary. How do you actually feel today?
Quite sad, really. In my mind, I'm thinking back to 40 years ago. I was 17 and thinking what I did, you know, when I heard it and just, you know, the feelings of it. Just still can't believe because you can hear the bloke every day and it's just suddenly you think, actually, he's still not here. So, yeah, really, really sad.
What do you say to those that still claim Elvis is still alive?
They're nuts. Absolutely. As I've said before, if he was
alive. This expression on your face, I know it's radio, the expression on your face suggests to me that it makes you angry.
It does. It does make me angry. If the man was still alive, the one person he'd be seen around would be his daughter and his grandchildren and what's going on with their families. And he's not seen there. You know, he's always seen in these obscure places. It's just stupid. It really is.
Okay, let's go back to that news bulletin that we played at the top of the hour. And in case you missed it, this was the first part of the news bulletin that we played for you. And this was the breaking news of one of the first stations to break the news in America when it happened.
Elvis Presley, dead at the age of 42. I'm John Meyer. Elvis Presley died today at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Presley was 42 years old. He parlayed a $4 visit to a recording studio into a multi-million dollar career. He was rushed to the hospital late this afternoon, suffering from what officials say was respiratory distress.
Now, okay, let's just cut that bulletin there. We'll hear the rest of it in just a moment. Now, you said to me before we actually played that on air and we were prepping the show and everything, well, that was actually factually wrong. So what's the story that you know? What's the story that you believe to be true?
From what we've heard with years and years of reports and what have you, although they say he was rushed to hospital with respiratory distress, he was dead. He was dead on arrival. He was probably dead before he got there. There's actually a thing where a nurse at one point said, "Why are we working on this man?" I mean, he was blue. And the people working on him said, "Because he's Elvis."
So what's the story behind his death? What actually happened? Who found him? And just go into that in a bit more detail.
Well, I've just recently finished reading the book by Ginger Olden, who was his girlfriend and fiancée at the time. And she was the one that actually found him, despite what a lot of the Memphis Mafia said. She was obviously in the bedroom. She went into the bathroom where he was. She found him on the floor and then called Joe Esposito and a couple of others who were working on him. And, you know, she was just sort of pushed to the back while they worked on him, called for an ambulance. His 9-year-old daughter, Lisa, was there at the time, went to walk into the bedroom. So Ginger had to take her out. You know, don't go in there at the moment.
So obviously at this point, Priscilla wasn't about, let's say.
No.
They'd split up.
Yeah, they were divorced by then, yeah. He'd gone through several women, pardon the pun, including his previous girlfriend, Linda Thompson, but he'd been seeing Ginger for about 9 or 10 months and they were engaged shortly before he died.
Okay, let's listen to the rest of this news bulletin.
The county medical examiner in Memphis, Dr. Jerry Francisca, says
the cause of the cardiac arrhythmia is not known at present time. It may never be known because there are several possible causes for cardiac arrhythmia, including high blood pressure and coronary artery disease, and he had both of those diseases. So either or both, acting together, might have been responsible.
Here in Washington, the White House issued a statement on the death of Presley. A report from Mutual News correspondent Duff Thomas.
In that statement, the president said Presley's music and personality, fusing the styles of white country and black rhythm and blues, permanently changed the face of American popular culture. He was a symbol to the people of the world over of the vitality, rebelliousness, and good humor of his country, unquote. The White House has no plans at this time for a day of national mourning. However, there's speculation that Presley's memory may someday be honored with a civilian medal for contributions to entertainment. Duff Thomas, The White House.
You're listening to The World Today.
The rise of Elvis Presley in the 50s might have seemed, on the surface, to have more to do with sex than with music. He came to prominence at a moment when teenagers were growing in numbers and wielding economic clout, while technology made possible the mass medium in which his music could flourish. Transistor radios, portable record players, and, of course, television, where his good looks dazzled perhaps more than his voice. Elvis himself had no conscious political agenda, but he was altering the social consciousness of a generation by turning them on to the power and allure of music, which had sprung directly from black culture. And young white teenagers lapped it up. Elvis would put together a string of hit records in the late 50s, followed by over 30 motion pictures. But by the 60s and 70s, he was overshadowed by more flamboyant and daring musical performers and the evolving musical culture. By August 16, 1977, he seemed more like an afterthought than a revolutionary figure, a man whose legend seemed much older than his 42 years. News of Elvis's death flashed around the world that afternoon. Yet on the CBS Evening News that night, it was reported after 5 other stories. But as crowds began to swell into the thousands outside the gates of his Graceland home in Memphis, another chapter of Elvis mania began to emerge. Elvis Presley remains an American legend whose myth refuses to fade.
And indeed it does, and 40 years on from his death, I think it's probably fair to say he is bigger now than he ever was. Edna Russell, who is my guest, and Elvis fan as well. I wonder, Edna, had he not died so early, whether or not he would have continued to have that level of success and fame, because you sometimes see this, don't you? that people become, they just go into another stratosphere after their death.
They do, yeah. I mean, same with Buddy Holly, you know, and several others of that sort of ilk. I think had he still been alive, I think he'd still be going, there'd still be that hardcore of fans. You know, I mean, the fact that you've got the Elvis concert going round, you know, with the film of Elvis and bands live on stage, and they all sell out. You know, who else 40 years after they're dead can sell out the O2? So it just speaks for itself. I think that he would still be going.
What are your thoughts on the tribute acts?
Hate them. Sorry. I know I shouldn't say that on live, but I just really, really do not like tributes and impersonators. And it's because I'm picky, you know, same as my mate Neil up in Liverpool. They might be okay, but unfortunately we'll sit there and say, sorry, but he's too short. He's got, you know, he's wearing a 1960s outfit and he's singing a song from 1959. And
That's attention to detail. I like that scene.
Funny enough, the next song actually shows that, because another reason I hate them is that they always do Elvis with a very, very deep voice, you know, doing the thing. Uh-huh. Yeah, precisely. The next song just shows he had an 8-octave range and he sings, I don't know the difference between alto, etc., but it's, to my point, my ears, it's a high-ish voice. And it's absolutely lovely.
Okay, the songs that we're going to play in this hour today are all from one of the more recent albums, and it's done with the Philharmonic Orchestra, is that right?
The Royal Philharmonic,
Okay. And what's the album called?
The Wonder of You.
The Wonder of You, and it's basically Elvis songs that have been remastered and done with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
That's right, yeah.
And this is one of those songs. This is Don't, and it's playing on Tone FM. Just magnificent. Elvis, as you wouldn't normally hear him, I suppose. From the latest album, The Wonder of You, with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, That is Don't, Elvis Presley, on August 16th. And, of course, it's the 40th anniversary of the death of Elvis. And we're commemorating that today with an hour-long special, which you can listen again to online at tonefm.co.uk. My guest and big Elvis fan and my next-door neighbour is Edna Russell. Edna, what is it about that song that really stands out for you?
I just, as I say, I love his ballads. He just puts his heart and soul into everything. And as I said, he was only 22 when he recorded that song. They didn't have the trappings of auto-tune, that sort of thing. You know, I just think it's amazing to produce that sort of voice at such a young age.
So it was about that time where he joined the army, wasn't it?
That's right. He went into the army in 1957 and he'd pre-recorded several songs so that they could be drip-fed so that people could still listen to him and keep him in the public ear while he was away.
And how long did he serve in the army?
2 years.
2 years, and that was obviously the national service. And at that point, he was still very famous. When he went in the army, he was very famous, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
How weird must have that been for his army colleagues and comrades to be with Elvis Presley?
Well, apparently he insisted because Colonel wanted him to just do the usual entertaining, go around doing the troops. And he insisted, if I'm going into the army, I want to be treated like everybody else. So, you know, he pulled KP and night duty and did all the same things as everybody else. And
very much like Prince Harry and William, because they did exactly the same thing. Yeah. And why not?
Yeah, that's right. He just wanted to be an ordinary person while he was doing the same as everybody else.
Anyway, there came a point 2 years later when he was to leave the army. And during the course of this hour, we've got some really nice interview footage with Elvis Presley. And this is one of those interviews that he was discussing plans after leaving the army.
For Germany, and our very special guest on the scene is Sergeant Elvis Presley. Elvis, it's nice to see you.
Thank you very much, Johnny. It's nice to be here.
Elvis, what are your plans now that you are about to leave the army?
Well, the first thing I plan to do, naturally, is to go home. And then after that, I have a television show with Frank Sinatra sometime in the latter part of April. And then I start work on the picture, G.I. Blues, for Paramount, Mr. Wallace. And then after that, I have two pictures with 20th Century Fox. And after that, heaven knows I don't.
Well, we'll talk about G.I. Blues a little later on. How are you going home, Elvis?
I believe I'm flying right in Maine.
Are you going home with some of your buddies here that you've met in Germany or have perhaps come over with?
Yes. I believe the same group that I came over here with.
The same group?
Yes, the same group. In fact, all the boys who came in Memphis, you know, the same time I did. Well, we're all going back together.
Mm-hmm. Have you recorded while you were in the service?
No, I haven't.
Not one tune?
No, I was home on leave to end the basic training. I made two records. But since that time, I've done nothing. Nothing at all in the line of show business.
Elvis, what about here in Europe? Where did you spend most of your leave time?
In Paris. Mm-hmm. I went to Paris. Yeah, I was in Paris twice, once for 10 days and another time for 6 days.
What do you remember most about those trips?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a gay town. I mean, it's if you like, you know, nightlife and everything. And I went over there to see some of the shows and, you know, to get a touch of the old life, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. Elvis, how much time have you spent while in the service on maneuvers?
Well, I couldn't give you an exact number of days, but I would imagine about half the time we were over here.
While you were in the field, were you troubled at any time by reporters?
No, not really. The Army PIO came out and took some, you know, some training shots.
But did you have any unfavorable encounters with any disguised reporters?
maybe yes, I don't know. If they were reporters, I didn't know it at the time.
Yes. Elvis, do press conferences bother you at all?
No, they don't bother you. It's pretty interesting. I get a big thrill out of a press conference because you have all these different people there with different questions, you know, and they're popping them to you like a district attorney, you know. And you're sitting there like you're on trial for something. They ask you, is it true that on the night of so-and-so, you were in so-and-so? Is it true that this girl did that and you did this? actually, it makes me stutter, you know, because I have to think on all the questions in order to give them I have a sensible answer. I have to think, you know. And when they're popping them to you so fast, well, I'm just saying, like that, you know.
Did they upset you?
Oh, no. You get used to it after a while.
Many American artists have entertained Elvis, as you know, behind the Iron Curtain with the help of the exchange program. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that you would like to do something like this?
Well, if certain people, you know, certain people think I should, then I would have no objections at all to give it a try. I don't think I'm very well liked over there, you know. They possibly think I'm a bad influence on their youth or something of that nature. And for that reason, I'm not very well liked over there. Mm-hmm. But if it were decided that I should go, then I would go, yes, no doubt.
And that was Elvis Presley talking shortly before he left the army while serving in Frankfurt in Germany. My guest is Edna Russell, self-confessed Elvis fan. And our next song, Edna, what's it going to be?
This one's Starting Today.
Okay, tell us about this song.
It's another one, as you said, from the Royal Philharmonic album. I love this one because it retains, as some of the others do, the Jordanaires, Millie Kirk, and so it keeps the backing singers as well. And it's just a beautiful song. It's another one, as I said before, that shows his higher range when he's singing this. And it's just a really lovely little song from 1961.
Starting today, I'm teaching my heart not to ache anymore. Just cause we're apart, no more will I dream of your sweet loving ways. Gonna learn to forget you starting today. And when memories haunt me and the tears start to flow, I'll just think of the sorrow you caused me to know. No more for the past. Turn what I pray. Gonna live for tomorrow, starting today. And when memories haunt me and the tears start to flow, I'll just think of the sorrow you caused me to know. No more for the past. To return what I pray. Gonna live for tomorrow.
How good is that? isn't it great listening to some really nice Elvis songs with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra? And that's kind of what we're doing between now and 10. It's the 40th anniversary today of the death of Elvis Presley. People just went wild all over the world. It's worth having a look on YouTube, actually. It's some of the numerous news bulletins and footage that's there. You could be sat there for hours and hours. And indeed, you probably have done Edna Russell, who is my guest, who is a huge Elvis fan. I know that because she's my next door neighbour. And when she sat in her little summer house in the garden, all I hear is Elvis stuff. Brilliant. So I kind of get an idea of the sort of stuff and the sort of time that you spend just enjoying his music and his memories and things. Let's move on to this press conference that we've got some footage from. And it's nice to hear these famous clips, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And it's just, you know, he's just so funny. He's just a natural comedian, really.
Very brilliant. Dry sense of humour he came across as having.
He has, yeah. You know, he didn't suffer fools gladly, but he would never be rude and put anybody down, you know, flatly. He was just a really nice guy.
So tell us about this press conference then that we're going to hear about.
It's my favourite. He comes in this really gorgeous blue suit. You know, in my idea, he's looking perfection. And you get some of the questions are really hilarious. You know, they're asking him about what made him stay so long. You know, what's his secrets of being a entertainer for so long? And it's just hilarious, some of the things he comes out with. You know, one of them, they ask him, are you really as shy as people make out? And he stands up with this gold belt, you know, and he's obviously taking the mickey out of himself. And that's what
he did, didn't he? I mean,
he did.
To wear some of the outfits that he wore, you'd have to be slightly brave.
Yes. Well, I think it was a case
and courageous.
Yes, I think it was a case of I'm entertaining, so therefore, whenever I'm seen in the public, I will put on a show. Funny enough, it's the same sort of mentality that Lady Gaga has now. She does the same thing.
Now, there's an interesting comparison. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Brilliant. Okay, well, let's hear this. This is a press conference in New York from 1972.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Vernon Presley, Elvis Presley's father. Mr. Presley has a friend coming out.
Hello. First of all, I plead innocent of all charges.
Okay.
Love you, Elvis.
Thank you, dear. Love you, too. Thank you.
Over the years, everyone said that you were very shy. What do you think about that?
Oh, I don't know what makes them think that. You know, this gold belt and the... the belt is an award from the International for the attendance record.
Why have you waited so long to appear in New York?
I think it was a matter of not getting the building, the proper building. We had to wait our turn in order to get the building. Couldn't get a good building in 15 years. No, all kidding aside, we had to wait our turn to get into the garden, you know. I just hope we put on a good show. Oh, I like it, you know. I enjoy it.
Why do you think you've outlasted every other entertainer?
I take vitamin E. I was only kidding. I don't know. I just... embarrass myself, man. I don't know. I enjoy the business. I like what I'm doing.
I'm reminded of the Ed Sullivan Show.
So am I. That's why I'm sitting down.
You used to be fond of long hair and doing all those gyrations on stage. How do you feel about it now?
Man, I was tame compared to what they do now. Are you kidding? I didn't do anything. We just jiggle, you know. Yeah. No, I can't. I can't do that. I just didn't save it for the show.
How do you feel about the way performers act and behave on stage now?
Oh, I don't know. I really can't criticize anybody. In the entertainment field, I think there's room for everybody. I hate to criticize another performer.
Are you satisfied with the image that you've established?
Well, the image is one thing, and a human being is another. It's very hard to live up to an image, I'll put it that way. Yeah.
What kind of audiences do you find you attract now?
Well, I found that in the audiences that we have, it's mixed. It's older people, younger people, and the very young, and all types of people, you know, which is good. I just made a movie of the last tour that I did. It's the first live concert that we ever filmed, so that's my next project that's coming out. There's so many places that I haven't been yet. I've never played New York here. I've never been to Britain either. I'd like it to, yes, sir. I'd like to very much. I'd like to go to Europe. I'd like to go to Japan and all those places. I've never been out of this country except in the service, you know. Yeah, I'd love to go there. Yeah.
Elvis, what made you decide to finish with movies and continue with live appearances?
I just missed it. I missed the closeness of an audience, of a live audience. So just as soon as I got out of the movie contracts, I started to do live performances again.
Will you be doing more and more?
I think so.
What are your views on compulsory national service?
I just seem to keep my own personal views about that to myself, because I'm just an entertainer, and I'd rather not say.
Why did MGM film the concert earlier in Boston, Elvis on tour, when they could have filmed it here?
I don't know. That's a good question. Why is that, Colonel? Why could they film the concert in Boston and they couldn't film it here?
What about politics?
I'm not involved in that at all. I'm just an entertainer.
I like that. Was very diplomatic the way he said that at the end. Clearly didn't want to get involved.
No, he's not. He's not into telling anybody what his political views are at all. He just stayed completely neutral as far as the public were concerned.
We're celebrating and commemorating the death of Elvis Presley 40 years ago today is when we all heard the terrible news. And our next song, in fact, just worth pointing out as well, that the songs that we're playing today, just tell us about this album, that the songs that we're playing from. It's called The Wonder of You, and it's the second album that they did with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Because I think the first one just took everybody complete surprise, didn't it?
It did, and it stayed at number one for quite some time. Priscilla Presley then went back to Don Reedman, the producer, and said, can we do another one? Don Reedman manages to get himself on every track as well. He's either playing the drums or a bit of backing guitar, so he's in producing and playing. But again, it was recorded at Abbey Road Studios. It's just absolutely lovely. I love the song choices that they've done on there.
And the next song is Kentucky Rain. Tell us about this song.
I've chosen that one for Lara because on the album, that is her favourite at the moment.
Lara's your daughter?
It is, yeah. She absolutely loves this song. She just become obsessed with it. Yeah. She's playing it over and over, which doesn't upset me. And it was the flip side of a song that was released in 1970 called My Little Friend. And funny enough, that one seems to have gone into oblivion, unless you're a freak like me. And this one is just a really nice song. I love the way that beginning, you know, the Kentucky Rain, they actually managed to get the sound of rain, or, you know, through the staccato of the violins. It's really lovely.
Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. So I'm walking in the rain, thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long, my love's too strong to let you go, never knowing what went wrong. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through, with the rain in my shoes. Photograph to some old gray bearded men sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon?
as we drove on through the rain. As he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find in you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoes.
Rain in my shoes.
Searching for.
You're listening to an Elvis special. It's 40 years to the day in which we heard the news of Elvis Presley's untimely death. That was The Wonder of You. And, of course, the songs that we're playing this morning are taken from the new album, The Wonder of You, which is accompanied by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. My guest is Edna Russell, self-confessed Elvis fanatic, my next-door neighbour as well, which also helps. And we've got one or two more little interview clips to play between now and 10 o'clock when we finish. Of course, you can listen again online at tonefm.co.uk. This next little clip is basically a little message to all the readers of NME. And Elvis has got a lot to be thankful for where NME is concerned.
Oh, definitely. Obviously, the New Musical Express was the publication of the time. all the information about Elvis and other singers were in there. They were the ones, they had a poll every year of who's the best writer, best singer, best this, that and the other. And of course he was included in the winners, but he wasn't able to attend, which is why they recorded this message.
Well, hello everybody, this is Elvis. I'm sorry I can't be with you all for the New Musical Express poll concert. But I'd like to congratulate all the winners. I'd like to thank you for including me. I'm especially proud of all my friends in Great Britain, and I hope to be able to bring you the kind of songs and pictures that you like. So again, thanks from the bottom of my heart, and send my best wishes for your good health and happiness always. It was very nice seeing Jimmy Savile while he was visiting over here. I'd like to wish the Beatles much continued success, as well as the other great recording artists in England. Thank you.
And a personal message, a personal note from Elvis himself to all the readers of NME magazine who voted him in that particular year, which was 1964. And he obviously couldn't make it because he never came to the UK, did he? Well, he stepped onto UK, well, Scottish soil, wasn't it?
In Prestwick, yes.
In Prestwick.
On his way back to America when he left the army, yeah.
And the only reason anybody knows where Prestwick is because Elvis Presley stepped on the tarmac. Let's be honest
probably,
about
yeah.
it. Yeah. So we continue. We have more songs to play for you between now and finishing at 10 o'clock. Let's talk about the day itself. What is going to be happening today? What's going to be happening in and around Graceland this week? Because this week is Elvis week, isn't it?
It is. It started on Friday. And there was lots of things going on. They had a fan reunion on the Friday. Saturday, they have an annual 5K charity run in Elvis's name. There's lots of events, things going on. Every day there are little conferences where they're dragging in anyone that's got a tenuous link to Elvis. Just so that they
You don't
can,
look too impressed by that.
Well, you've got, you know, it would be great if Scotty Moore and Bill Black were still alive, but no, they're bringing in their nieces and their, you know, their grandchildren
yeah.
to talk about what their grandparents said at the time. Mm. I suppose it's good in a way because at least you're getting to hear the stories,
yeah.
you know, you're getting the anecdotes. Priscilla Presley's going to a few, but tonight is the big one. 8:30 American time, they start the candlelit vigil. And there are thousands that queue up for this. They all have a candle and they are allowed to walk up the drive to Elvis's grave and round and back out again. And they keep the gates open until every single person that wants to pay respects does. And it can go on to the early hours of the morning. And they don't shut the gates until everybody has gone through.
And obviously with it being the 40th anniversary, a particularly poignant anniversary, I would imagine that you're probably going to get quite a few more than normal.
There are. I mean, the fan club in Britain, run by Todd Slaughter, there's just thousands going just from the UK alone. That's why they're having a president's reunion, which is, you know, all the people that run the various fan clubs. There's going to be thousands out there, as well as obviously the American people.
Of course.
Well. Yeah.
Of course. And no doubt you're going to see repeats of lots of Elvis Presley movies and Elvis Presley footage all over the place.
Yeah, there's loads on.
Announcements of all of his good stuff and all of his wrongdoings as well, because he had a bit of an up and down, you know, went towards the end, didn't they? I mean, you know, there's obviously this talk and discussion about taking his own life and the alcohol, the drugs, yeah. which not just Elvis, it happens to many people in that line of work, doesn't it?
It does. They seem to just rely on it. But when it comes to the drugs, you know, we're not talking about, you know, injecting heroin and that sort of thing. And I'm not saying it's any better, but it was prescription drugs.
I was going to say it was prescription drugs, wasn't it?
Yeah, which he was addicted to. So have a lot of people been, you know, because you become reliant on them. And your body gets to the point where it needs it regardless, you know, and obviously, so I'm not condoning anything, but at the end of the day, the only person he hurt was himself, you know, and he was human at the end of the day, but people seem to think because he's Elvis Presley, he shouldn't do that, you know, he's got to be up on a pedestal.
It was so much similar to Michael Jackson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play some more music then. We're playing the songs from the Wonder of You album with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. The next one is You Gave Me a Mountain. What is special about this song for you, Edna?
It's a really powerful ballad. It was actually written in 1960 by Marty Robbins. as a he was a country singer. He always did his version of this, released in 73 in the Aloha from Hawaii concert. And in this one, I like this one because although you've got the Royal Philharmonic doing the overdubbing of the strings, etc., Elvis's voice is right to the fore, but they've kept the original band. So you've got the whole of the TCB band, which is James Burton, Jerry Scheff, etc., and all of his backing singers. The only other person that did a higher charting version of this was Frankie Lane. But this is just a fantastic song.
Born in the heat of the desert, my mother died giving me life, deprived of the love of a father, blamed for the loss of his wife. You know, Lord, I've been in a prison for something that I've never done. Been one hill after another, I climbed them all one by one. Oh, but this time, Lord, you gave me a mountain. A mountain I may never climb. It is tired of the heartaches, tired of the grief and the strife, so tired of working for nothing, just tired of being my wife. She took my one ray of sunshine, she took my pride and my joy, she took my reason for living, she took my small baby boy.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. We are celebrating and commemorating the death of Elvis Presley 40 years ago today. August the 16th, 1977 was the day Elvis Presley fans around the world, including my guest, Edna Russell, who self-devoted all her life to Elvis Presley. Can you remember where you were, what you were doing at the time you were heard the news?
Yes, I can. I was 17. I was in bed, actually. I heard it about 10:15. I'd gone to bed early that evening, and my dad just called up the stairs. It was as calmly as if my left leg had just dropped off, you know. He just said, "Oh, Edna, just heard Elvis is dead."
What?
Precisely. That's exactly what I did. I went running down the stairs, and I just spent the whole evening then, because obviously news at 10 just went on and on and on. And I spent the whole evening doing that. Next morning, I went to work. Not very good at all, because I hadn't slept very well. I remember ringing my friend Maria, who's up in Liverpool, and I'm sure she's listening. She was at work, and she suddenly got this phone call from someone saying, "There's this idiot crying on the phone, wants to speak to you." And I actually ended up taking a couple of days off sick.
Cause really?
I just spent the whole time listening to the whole thing. And then his actual funeral, because he was originally first not buried in Graceland. Mm. He was buried at Forest Hills Cemetery with his mum. And they sent that out over the radio. Mm. And I think it was on Luxembourg. I was listening to it. But they had to move him. A little while later, because there were so many people trying to take bits from the grave, which is why he and his mother then were reinterred at Graceland.
Okay, let's play some more audio now. We're going back to the very start of his career. This was about a year in, and the interview was actually done by his manager, Bob. Tell us about this.
Bob Neil, who was his manager at the time, producer, and it had only been going about a year, and it was at the time in America where when they did a show, it wasn't just one person. They'd have half a dozen of the current big names, and they'd do one or two songs each. So it might have been Elvis and Cole Perkins and Brenda Lee, or, you know, whoever's in at the time.
Yeah.
And obviously they're trying to promote Elvis wherever they can, so they're just talking to him, and Elvis is talking about how the audience is getting bigger each time. You know, it had gone from a couple of hundred to maybe 1,000. When you think, you know, how many thousands there are now, it's quite interesting to listen back to.
So let's have a listen back to this interview now, which was done in 1955.
Scotty Moore, come over here and say howdy to all your friends in Texarkana, will you?
Howdy. And say hello to all the fine folks down in Texarkana.
I said that before. Now you go ahead and say something new.
Well, we want to invite everybody out to the show Friday night, and we're going to have two shows at 7 and 9. And they've all been asking about the drummer that we had up there last time, DJ Fontana. And he's going to be with us. He's a regular member of our band now, and he'll be there with us Friday night, along with Floyd Kramer and Jimmy Day, the Louisiana Hayride Band. And, of course, all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll provide a whole lot of picking and all those numbers that folks like to hear so well, like Baby Let's Play House and I Forgot to Remember. Might even find Maybelline along the line there someplace. Tell you what, before we call over some other folks here to talk, Elvis Presley, how are you doing?
Fine, Bobbert. How you getting along?
Oh, doing grand. I know all the folks down at Texarkana have been raising such a hoop and a holler for you to come down and hoop and holler at them that we've got this great big double show scheduled for Friday night at the auditorium down there. What do you think about it?
Oh, well, Bob, I've been just as anxious to come back as I can be. We've been, I think this makes about the fourth or fifth time we've been to Texarkana. And we've been lucky. Every time we've gone back, the crowd has increased a little bit, and we've really been proud of that, because it's kind of unusual, you know.
Well, it's been about 4 months now since the last time you were in Texarkana, and aside from that, we've got some extra fine entertainers to take along. I'd like to mention this boy, Johnny Cash from Memphis, who wrote and recorded Cry, 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 and Hey Porter. Johnny is a swell young fella. I know everybody's going to want to watch him work and see him on the big show. And you've worked with Charlene Arthur from the Big D, haven't you, Elvis?
I've worked with Charlene quite a bit, and she's one of the finest entertainers on stage I've ever seen.
A very young Elvis Presley speaking there in 1955. So that pretty much comes to an end of our hour-long special commemorating the death of Elvis Presley. It's been really enjoyable. I hope you've enjoyed the music. Edna, my guest, my Elvis fan, what will you be doing today? How will you be celebrating today?
I've got things that I have to do today, but I will be doing silly things like wearing my Elvis t-shirt, listening to Elvis music as much as I can, wearing my fan club badge, as I always do.
Texting your friends.
Texting friends, yeah. And just playing a lot of Elvis music and just remembering, really. So, yeah.
And when's your next trip to Graceland, let's say? Because today would probably be the busiest day in many, many years.
It is. I'd love to go. I've been before. I'd love to go at this time of year, but it is so hot. Mm. And I really don't know that I could stand for hours and hours and hours in the heat, you know, queuing up to get in. So I'd like to go again, but do another January trip.
There must be an online feed somewhere that's going to be showing this, broadcasting
it's online,
live.
Yes, you it can is. Actually go on webcam and watch, which I've obviously got set up to... to watch. It's not funny.
Your facial expression was like, my God, I really am sad.
But yeah, I should be watching that.
It's dedication. Now, the final song that we're going to end with, tell us about this one.
This one's not on the album. It's from a different album, and it is my favourite song of Elvis, and it's my just favourite song of all time. Neil, if you're listening, this one's for you as well. Promised Land, written by Chuck Berry originally, and I just love the way Elvis sings this. Bearing in mind it's 1975, it's only 2 years before he died, but it just shows he could still belt out a rocker.
Excellent. Well, look, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your day today. Hopefully you've enjoyed what you've been listening to over the last hour, and you can listen again online at tonefm.co.uk.
Get on.
Your engine and crew.